Hallelujah.
Oh, it's good, right?
That's right, yeah. Never mind the floor. Pure, holy, tried and true. Thanksgiving, I'll be a living sacrifice. Please join us.
enjoying the music? I forgot to push the button. Good to see everyone here today. Welcome to Harbor of Joy. No matter if it's the first time you've been here, the second time, or you've been here for years. I'm just glad to see you here today. How was Israel?
Beyond words.
Isn't that something? Yeah. What was your favorite spot there, Cheryl?
Probably the Sea of Galilee.
Sea of Galilee. Did you sail on the Sea of Galilee?
Yes.
And that meant you walked on the water.
Ken told me when I told him I floated in the Dead Sea, he sent me a text back saying I walked on water.
Yeah, when we went to the Dead Sea too, they said, you know, you can't drown there because there's like 10% of it is like salt water or something. You've got this very buoyant. I go like, yeah, you watch me sink. And I went out there and I could not float until my wife had to help me. You had to put your butt in a certain position. You know? And it took me a long time to figure that one out. But once I got it, I go like, oh man, this is pretty cool. But if I needed to touch bottom, I could. Good to have you here today. We got a bulletin, hopefully, when you came. We're going to go through just some of the highlights of that bulletin. Just want to remind you that George Dirks is Ross's dad. He fell down. He's in the hospital, but he seems to be doing good.
I just got a text and his seat.
The bleeding is worse. And he fell down and cracked his head. They found him yesterday. I don't know how long he was lying there. But Ross is there with Michael, I believe. And so things are up and down there, probably like with Madeline. How's she doing? What's the lady standard? Normally not good. She's in a coma. 2-year-old? Okay, drug-induced coma. Yeah, just keep those that are in a prayer request in your bulletin before the Lord. You know, Dean Ramsey did not have surgery, but he's planning on getting it done right after Easter sometime. I don't know the exact date for that, but that's just something to be mindful of as well. Keep Ross and Michael and Terry in your prayers, as well as George, during this time, too. Just want to let you know that on Wednesday we do have a Lenten supper that starts at 5:30. That's been an awesome thing to be able to see different groups of people in Harbor of Joy that have come together to provide the lunch that is there. So if you come at 5:30, a free lunch or free soup, whatever it may be, and some good fellowship before the worship service at 6:30. And we have... we'll be looking at another Old Testament passage, and I believe it's probably found in the Old Testament, yeah. Somewhere. It could be Exodus, it could be Deuteronomy, we'll see where that's at. But I think you heard about this one as well. This last week it was about the high priest, and there's a lot there with the high priest, and we just looked at what the high priest did the Day of Atonement once a year, kind of some of the formalities and the ceremony that went along with what he did. And only the high priest, there's only one, could go behind the curtain in the tent of meeting, or the tabernacle at that time. And one of the things I didn't mention is that Aaron is the first high priest, that's a brother to Moses. And who was it that built the golden calf?
Aaron,
the high priest. And that's why it became such a big deal. When Moses came down from Mount Sinai, he did not like what he saw or heard. And what did he do with the first set of Ten Commandments? Broke them. And he had to go up and make another set. That kind of thing, write them out, chisel them out, that kind of thing. So we're going to pick up another place in the Old Testament that talks about how Jesus suffered and Micah suffered for us in the New Testament. So keep that in mind. There's an ecumenical service, the last one, this coming Friday at the community, the faith community here in Milford. And keep that in mind. That's open to anyone and everyone. We have Bible camp end of April. We got a lot of different things in here that are worthwhile to read. And you might want to be a part of some of those. We're thankful that we do have a testimony every now. Thank you, Becky, so much for your testimony last Sunday. Really appreciated that. And today we're going to hear another one. And the church council said don't have one every week. We're going to have another one today. You know what? Dave Reef is going to be here up front here. Maybe we have the mic here for you, Dave. And we have to use it because it's the people here from Zoom. They can't hear you unless they have it.
Call me up there.
I will. It'll be a little while here.
No problem.
But thank you so much. He's going to talk about the blessing box and some of the things that he has learned through that and from that as well. So I just want to have a word of prayer with you as I turn it back over to the praise band who have a word of God, as you can tell. Denny and Lisa Strucker on vacation out in Montana. So it makes a difference when you have not everybody here.
I would like to be in Montana.
You'd like to be there?
I'm here.
They're in a pretty place. They're at like close to Glacier National Park, and that's a beautiful place. So. Anyway, let us just pray, shall we? Heavenly Father, we thank you for everyone that is here this morning. And Lord, we're always mindful of those who are not doing so well with different kinds of aches and pains and problems and broken bones and cracked bones. People just are not feeling well. There's a whole list of different things. And so, Lord, even if a child is in a coma, drug-induced coma, there's reasons for that. We don't always know what they are. I'm thankful that you do. What we are short of, you are not short of. And give us the hope, courage that we need to have these days in which we live. And may we know that Jesus Christ is the one who we need to lean on, hope in, trust in all the time. Thank you for everyone that is here today. Being with the praise team today, you know they're a little short. Help them to lead the things that they have on their hearts to share with us this morning as well. We'll leave a day of two as a shoot. In Jesus' name we pray. reading today comes from the book of Galatians, chapter 3. You are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. If you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. So you're no longer a slave, but a son. And since you are a son, God has made you also an heir.
Like a tree planted by the water.
do that. And the day you come on up here, just want you to know that we have a blessing box that's 1 year old. Just this time last year, March, that it came to be. Right?
That's exactly right.
I think so. And it's because of this guy that we have it. And I wanted to say thank you on behalf of the church and the congregation, too, for having the vision and getting it put together. And what's unique about it is it's available 24/7. And you stock it. If you're not here, John Harder stocks it. It's always stocked. And it could be stocked probably 3 times a day. There's that much going out of it. But you tell us how it's going from your perspective. And whatever else you want to say, and you don't need that, do you?
You want to cheat card here. I think you might have mentioned my name, but I have to mention it because my name is Dave Reef, and I promise to be brief. But anyway, yeah, that blessing box turned a year old on Tuesday, the 21st. That's when we hung it. And I want to thank you for helping to hang the box, because you were there to help hang it. And also, I wanted to say I wanted to start out just two areas here. Thank yous, and I want to talk about testimonies. People have come up and said how much the blessing box means to them and helps them out with them, especially with their families. But first of all, I want to thank, first and foremost, God. Thank you, God, for bringing all the resources. There's times where some of the resources got a little low, and I'd say a prayer, or John would say a prayer, and next morning there'd be just food everywhere. Somebody bring it in, or I get a call from Fairway, hey Dave, we got a whole truckload for you. And so I wanted to say thank you to God first and foremost. Second of all, John Arthur, thank you again for being my partner. Couldn't do it without you. There's a lot of times when I wasn't around, and you're always there. I think there wasn't a day that we've missed in the whole year that we've been doing it. No matter what the weather was like, it's kind of like the mail that rain, snow, shine, whatever it takes, the weather, we're going to be there for the blessing box. I also want to thank Dennis for helping build the box a year ago, as well as my brother-in-law, Steve Ingwald, he helped build it. And our daughter Emily, she's the one that designed and painted the sign out there. So I want to thank her, Emily. I know, I don't think you're on the Zoom, but if you are, thank you again. And then, of course, I wanted to thank the Harbor of Joy. They've been so generous in giving, and constantly giving. I mean, I came in and there was bags of food in the shopping cart. Then all of a sudden I put it away in the storage because I just stocked the box outside. And then I come back and then it's filled up again. It just keeps coming and coming, and I want to thank you guys for all your support, as well as those that can't or aren't able to get food or pick up food. I know that you've given generously with the monies, and whenever I do get monies from the church, I tell Karen to go ahead and make the check out to Fairway. Fairway's been by far our biggest contributor. And if you happen to be a shop at Fairway, and you happen to see Troy or Marie over there, and you know them or you don't know them, you see their name tag, thank them, because about every Monday I'm getting a whole truckload full of stuff from them, just free stuff, and it's incredible. It really helps the cost and keeping it down from the church as well by doing that. Come and go over there, and Uncle Boji, Tracy, you see her. They give a lot, as well as two Casey's in Spirit Lake, there's Shari, and then also in Milford, Megan, the Casey's Milford here. They give very generous as well. So if you're in there and you see them, thank them. As far as testimonies go, oh, there's one other person I think too. Now, Dave's not here, but Dave brings bread in about every couple weeks, and that helps. And I asked him, I said, hey, why don't you come to our church? And he said, well, I'm Catholic. And I said, well, that's okay. I won't hold against you. But he said, we don't have a blessing box, so I want to drop off bread here. So that's fine. Keep it coming. So it's nice to get that bread every couple weeks. And as far as testimonials, I'll start with Gloria in Esterville. She came over and probably at the very beginning of the blessing box and said that, hey, you know, she wanted to thank our church and said that, you know, without this, I wouldn't be able to make ends meet because the cost of living is going up so much. I live on Social Security. She's in her 80s. She drives over about every other day. And she said, without this, I wouldn't be able to keep up with it because the gas prices, the food costs going through the roof the last couple of years. So she definitely is appreciative of that and wanted to thank us. I had a couple months ago a single mom coming up in her van, and I asked her if this helps her. She said, yeah, I'm a single mom. Four kids in the van. She said, without this, I wouldn't be able to keep going with feeding my kids. There's also, and I hopefully I won't get emotional here. I'm not an emotional guy, but this is near and dear to my heart. So if I do, pause a minute, bear with me. But I'm going to try not to cry, just so you know. Dan, 2 days ago, came over, and he has a teenage boy, and he doesn't have a lot to give, but he always brings in microwave popcorn, and he just puts it right in the box out there. And then he takes some food. He's got a hungry teenage son, and we can't keep up with food costs. So, but I want to give whatever I can. And I said, thank you for that. I said, this popcorn will be gone the next day. And it usually is gone the next day. Everything's always gone. Like I said, we can be filling this box up 3 or 4 times a day. But we at least keep in our promise. And even when you see the paper, it says the blessing box open 24/7. We're going to keep it going every day at least. But sometimes John and I are filling it up 2 or 3 times a day. We'll be going out there, and then suddenly we fill it up, and then we're stocking the shelves in the pantry here. And then we'll go back out, and all of a sudden it's gone. And so it's quite often that we can be filling this thing up more than what we could. There's also a guy named Corey, just a neat individual. He you probably seen him around. He walks around here with a backpack on his back. Sometimes he rides a bike. In the coldest of weather, he's out there. And he not only does he come 2 or 3 times a day to get food out of the box, but he distributes it to people who are needy around the neighborhood who can't get to the box. So I think that was kind of a neat story. And let's see. I got to read my chicken scratch writing here. Let's see. Maybe I shouldn't have used this. Sorry about that, Tim. I'm holding everybody up here. There's also, we've had some people come here for the first time and it's never been here before. There's a lady here. I've not met her. If you would like to meet you at the end of the church here, if you're here, she said she uses the box quite often. She said, I might as well start coming here. So I don't know who she is. I don't know her name, but I'd like to meet you after church here. Once again, just look for me. I'm Dave. The last testimonial, it was this past summer. I was given another paint coating on the blessing box just to keep it looking, you know, fresh. And these 3 kids came up on a bike, and they had been about 6, 7, 8 years old. Brothers and sisters, and the one girl was ready to reach into the blessing box and said, hey, hold on, can you wait about an hour and come back? Because it's going to be wet, I don't want your hands getting all wet with paint. And she says, we don't have any food at home right now. And I said, does this blessing box help you? She says, yes, we come here every day because our dad, and she never mentioned her mom, but she said, our dad works all day. And when he comes home, that's when we get our food. So we had no food during the daytime. So I went into the back and I got some plastic bags and filled them up with whatever they wanted. And they wanted macaroni and cheese, meats, and all that. And I said, by the way, I said, do you like chocolates? They said, oh yeah, we love chocolates. So I went back in, and that month I had from Fairway a whole box of these Hershey chocolate stars. And I brought a whole bag out for them. And it's hard for them to carry it, so I put the plastic bags over their handlebars and put that in there. And you wouldn't believe the smiles on their face when they got that bag of chocolates. Because I'm assuming they probably don't get a lot of that at home. So So that not only helps the adults, but also kids, especially in the summertime, because summertime, you know, school's out. You know, they can, in school programs, they can give help out kids with meals and they can't afford it. But in the summertime, there's nothing for these kids. So I can tell you the Blessing Box feeds these kids in the summer. Sometimes they'll leave a wrap around, but they need this food. And anyway, I just wanted to let you know that this Blessing Box is working. It's truly a blessing to have the Blessing Box, and I thank you for your time, and I thank you, Harbor and Joy, for all your support. Yeah, go ahead.
What's the most needed?
I would say macaroni and cheese, meats and cans, crackers, Ritz crackers, any crackers. You like to put the meats on the crackers, I've heard one say. What else? Trying to think, oh, just canned goods. Chef Bardi, any hamburger helper, can of corn, canned green beans, those help. Box cereals of any kind, they like that. Those go really fast. I'd say in those five or six categories, those would be the main thing. Any fruits and cans, that goes right away as well. They want the fruits. Any other questions? Blessing Box? If not, I don't want to be over brief here. Thank you.
Dave has a real heart for this because he grew up very poor and without food. And so that's why he really loves doing this, because he understands what it's like not to grow up with food. What it is to grow up without food. So he's looking then for a woman that could really provide for him, and he found Sarah.
Well, I've got to mention that too. Sarah, she's done a good job. There's times when, I know she doesn't want to be in the light here, but there's times where she's not substituting. She'll help me pick up a big load of food at fair. We help me bring it over here. So I want to say that she's been a big intricate part as well.
And this is wondering what happens. I mean, Dave and John do this volunteer. I mean, they don't get paid anything for Maya. They don't hand in anything like, well, we drove this much to get this food and da 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 da. They do this just out of the love they have out of their own hearts. And so there's nothing that they gain by doing this. And Dave lives out by Big Spirit Lake. You know, is it 20 miles?
It's about a 25-minute drive.
25-minute drive to have to take here and back. So, I mean, he's just doing out of goodness in his heart. So I appreciate you and John and everyone else that also make sure that there's something to put in that box that is out there. Well, I think you need to stand out for a little bit here. Your message comes from John chapter 11, verses 1 through 16. Now, a man named Lazarus was sick. He was from Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. This Mary, whose brother Lazarus now lay sick, was the same one who poured perfume on the Lord and wiped his feet with her hair. So the sister sent word to Jesus, "Lord, the one you love is sick." When he heard this, Jesus said, "This sickness will not end in death. No, it is for God's glory, so that God's Son may be glorified through it." Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. Yet when he heard that Lazarus was sick, he stayed where he was 2 more days. Then he said to his disciples, "Let us go back to Judea." "But Rabbi," they said, "a short while ago the Jews tried to stone you, and yet you are going back there?" Jesus answered, "Are there not 12 hours of daylight? A man who walks by day will not stumble, for he sees by this world's light. It is when he walks by night that he stumbles, for he has no light." After he had said this, he went on to tell them, "Our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I'm going there to wake him up." His disciples replied, "Lord, if he sleeps, he'll get better. And Jesus then, speaking of his death, the disciples thought he meant natural sleep. So then Jesus told them plainly, Lazarus is dead. And for your sake, I'm glad I was not there, so that you may believe. But let us go to him. And then Thomas, called Didymus, said to the rest of the disciples, let us go that we may die with him. Unusual for Thomas to say something like that. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, as we read and have listened to your word here today, use it. Use it as you did back then, in a powerful way, in a way that becomes unsuspecting in how you touch our hearts and our lives, even here this morning. We ask this, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I kind of want to tie in the last couple of weeks. You know, the first time we talked about the woman at the well. Jesus was there. Remember, she was a Samaritan. Samaritans and Jews do not get along. Jesus is a Jew. And who is it that starts the conversation? It's Jesus. And this woman is saying, like, how can you speak to me? I'm a Samaritan and you are a Jew. So she is an outcast. How do we know that? By the time of the day, she went out to get water from the well. High noon, the hottest part of the day, she came out there. And Jesus spoke to her and talked to her about living water that she could have by faith and believing and trusting in him. She went back to her town, couldn't have been that far away, and she spoke to the people saying, I've met the Messiah. He told me everything about me. And they said, well, it's kind of almost like, well, let us make up our own minds. You know, we're glad that you had this encounter with this man, but let us hear him. And so Jesus stayed there at that village, that little town, for 2 extra days. And they're Samaritans. And you got Jesus and the disciples who are Jews. And they have a little conference, a little seminar at that place. And then the people who listened to him and heard him said, now we have heard him. We too believe that he is the Savior of the world. And they gave the woman credit, saying, you know, it's not just because of your testimony, but now we've heard for ourselves. So you're here today, you're hearing for yourself what God's word says. We then moved on from there and we went to the blind man. Remember that? That was just last week. The blind man who was born blind, and the disciples asked Jesus, okay, now why is this guy blind? Was it sin that his parents had done? Is the reason why he was born blind? Or was he blind because of sin that he had done? And Jesus said, neither. But that God is going to use that handicap in a unique way. And that's when Jesus spit on the ground and made him some mud, rubbed it on the guy's eyes, and said, go wash in the pool of Siloam, which he did, and it's when he washed that mud, he was able to see. Now, he's an older guy. You know, he's beyond teenage years, and he knows what's going on. He's never seen his parents. He's never, doesn't even know where he lives. Has never seen the faces of the people who've led him to where they drop him off at, because if you're born blind, you only have one way to live and survive in life back then, that is to be a beggar. You'd have to beg, and it would be pinned upon the kind-heartedness of people that would give their blessing box to him, and he would survive. And when he could see, well, they asked him, well, who did this to you? Now think of that. Guy's blind. He has no idea who put the mud on his eyes because he couldn't see. But he says, well, it's kind of what you guys say. It was this band called Jesus. So people have heard about Jesus. And someone had to probably show him how to get back to his own home. Because he's never seen where he grew up in, where he lived. And yet Jesus said, this is going to be used that other people would believe in Christ. Now today we come to Lazarus. There's a lot to Lazarus here, but I just want to pick the first 16 verses here. That Lazarus, who comes from the family where it's Martha and Mary, and Lazarus is the brother, Martha and Mary is his sister, his sisters, and they've sent word because they're concerned about his well-being, his physical well-being. He's sick. The one whom he loved is sick. Jesus gets word of that, and kind of the point I want to make today is that Jesus knows all these things about every one of these people. Therefore, he knows everything about you as well. He knows. He knows what's going to come your way in life. And I find that incredible. There's going to be things that will happen in your life that you're going to say, like, I never thought I would be in this situation. There might be some who go to the blessing box and say, I never thought I'd be hungry and wonder where my next meal is going to come from. And yet that's a common thing in Tanzania, Africa. They wake up in the morning wondering, what are they going to eat to get through the day? Where are they going to get water? Or who's going to get the water? And will that water be clean? Or will it be infested? Some kind of parasite. Who knows? But if you're here today, Jesus knows everything about you as well. The things that you have gone through already, wherever you're at in life, and things that you don't know that are heading your way or you're going to be confronting and find yourself in. But Jesus knows. I hope that's helpful for you, but even though we know that, it's hard to believe, isn't it? It's still hard to trust in the Lord in difficult times. The times when we need to really be trusting in Him is in these times that we don't know the kind of curveballs thrown at us. You don't know what to do. But Jesus knows everything ahead of time about you and me. And so we find here that Jesus comes to know about the well-being of Lazarus. They know that he knows that he's sick. Jesus also knows that Lazarus is going to die. And he knows that he can raise him, call him back from the dead. But these other people don't know that. You think of all these three people, the woman at the well, the blind guy, and now Lazarus. You'd think that this would be time for people celebrating and just full of joy. And what we find in their lives is that once the good things happen to them, just the opposite takes place. There are people who don't believe them. And they just attack a person who's been made whole, been healed. And so there's a lot of skepticism, non-belief, and even hatred, especially when it comes to Lazarus, which we'll get to before we're done here. Jesus knows what's going to happen to himself as well. He said it to his disciples early on. The day will come that I will be going to Jerusalem. The elders of Israel will beat me. They will not believe in me. And eventually he tells his disciples that he's going to go to Jerusalem, and there he will die by the religious people. That's going to be hard for them to wrap their brains around him. But that's exactly what's going to happen. Good Friday, as we have come to know it, the day in which Jesus died on the cross, But what did he go through before he died? At 3 o'clock in the afternoon on that Friday. But he did that for you and for me. The Jews are surprised, his disciples are surprised when Jesus said that he wanted to go back to Judea rather than to go and see Lazarus, who was very sick. He does go back to Judea. Jerusalem is where? In Judea. And prior to this, you go back to the very last verse of John chapter 8, you'll find that it is there that he's dealing with the Jews. They wanted to stone him. They picked up stones to kill him because they thought that Jesus had blasphemed. To them, he said that he was God. He didn't say that himself, but he is insinuating, and they took it saying, like, well, it's blasphemy. He's telling us that he's God. And so they picked up stones to stone him because that's what the book of Leviticus, what Moses had put in there, the laws of how the Jews should handle things. And it says there that Jesus just kind of, he slipped away. It wasn't his time yet to die. But he said that he knew Abraham. He was before Abraham. And the people go like, you're not even 50. How can you know Abraham? Jesus is claiming that he is, he's always been. He is God. And we find a big word that's called omniscient. Omniscient means all-knowing. Jesus is all-knowing. There's nothing that he goes like, oh, that was a surprise. I didn't know that was coming or that was going to happen. Jesus knows everything, and that's why we can trust him. We can lean on him. It's difficult even to do so. Well, Jesus goes back as he realizes that Lazarus has died. It's been 4 days. He's been put in a tomb. And it's Martha who's concerned when she sees Jesus. She kind of goes like, Lord, if only you could have been here earlier, our brother wouldn't have died. Of course, Jesus knows what's going to happen. I guess it's probably the only place where we find that the emotions of Jesus are tied here with Lazarus. And he wept. A lot of confirmation kids love to memorize that verse. Two words, he wept. And so he just kind of said, where have you laid him? So they take him to the cemetery. It's very important that he uses the name Lazarus, because if he didn't use the name Lazarus, guess what would happen to that cemetery? Everybody would have came out. But he specifically says, Lazarus, come out! Makes you kind of wonder the people there what they thought when they heard him say that. But he had someone remove the stone. And out comes Lazarus. Kind of looks a little bit like a mummy. He still's got some cloth wrapped around him. And once he comes forth and people see that he's alive, I've always wondered, what did Lazarus say to everybody after he came back to life again? But there's nothing said in Scripture. You'll find that he's written about, but there's not a thing that Lazarus says that's recorded in the Bible. And I'd like to know, what did he see? Like, you know, he was in heaven and be able to describe that, hey, I don't know why I came back. I got to die again. Because he would have to. And you get into the next verse, it's when the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the Sanhedrin, the chief priests, and the high priest at that time was who? Caiaphas. And they all wanted to kill Jesus because people were starting to believe in him. But they also said in the next chapter, They want to also kill Lazarus because people who were Jews were also coming to believe in Jesus as well. So they not only want to kill Jesus, but they want to kill Lazarus. They were like, who are these people? These are the ones that they would see on their Sabbath day. Going through the rituals, going through the traditions, people that they would say were just very good people, religious people. And they are the very ones who had Jesus flogged, crucified, until he died. So, and even his own disciples didn't get it when Jesus said that he was going to, Lazarus had fallen asleep, and he's just going to go there to wake him up. They didn't get it. They thought it was just a physical, he's sick, he needs rest, he's going to have rest and feel much better when he gets up. But Jesus had to tell them, no, he's dead. Lazarus is dead. Well, then how is he going to go and wake him up? That's what we find later on in the chapter, where Jesus says, I am the resurrection and the life. He will live even though he die. He says that to Martha and Mary, and he says, yes, the question, do you believe this? And that's a really probing question even for us this morning. Do you believe in the words of Jesus when he says, I am the resurrection and the life? Are you trusting in those words? As best as you know how. But it's not going to be what you can do, it's what God has done for you and what God will do in those words for you. That counts. It would be a shame to go through life, however long our lives may be, and to miss out on eternal life. It would be a real shame. When we know that we could have been in heaven, and we missed it out of pure stubbornness, unbelief. Just sin. Pride. Do you struggle with pride in your life? Thinking that I don't need anybody, I can do this by now. That's pride. Jesus is there for us. And so when Thomas, who we often refer to Thomas as Doubting Thomas, because he's one that said, I will not believe until I see him when I can touch him. But all the other disciples said, he was here. We saw him. And we ate with him. And Thomas wasn't there for some reason. Maybe he went to Walmart. I don't know. But he just wasn't there that day. And then he says, until I touch him or I see him, Jesus appears. And what does Jesus say to Thomas? He doesn't just look at him. He just says, Thomas, touch. Touch me. You can see the scars in his hands. Put your hand where the wound was on my side. You can touch me. It's okay, Thomas. But Thomas says, my Lord, my God. Comes to believe in a way that he later becomes a church leader in India. And that's where he's martyred for the faith and believing in Christ. So it doesn't sound like Thomas is really a doubter here. He's the one that's ready to say, hey, let's go and die with him. Jesus is going to go someplace, we need to be there and support him. And if he dies, then we'll die with him. Do you believe in him that much? So the last point I want to make here today is this, is that Jesus cares about you, and he loves you very much. He knows everything about you, past, present, and future. He knows. Do you know him? Are you trusting in him? Let's pray. Lord, thank you that you know everything. Forgive me for taking things in my own hands, trusting in my strength, trusting in what I think is best. Lord, we oftentimes don't know how weak we can become. Even in sickness, to the point where we have no strength. We can't even pray. But yet we know that we are in your hands. But there are some who fear to die. There may be some here today who have that big fear in their lives of, I don't want to die, and I sure hope I'm going to heaven if I do. And Lord, it's you that brings that peace into our lives that we can know for sure that we'll be with you in eternity. Even when we are weak, there's nothing that anyone else can really do for us because we don't understand everything, but we just say, Lord, here I am. I know I'm yours. And we can't even utter those words, but we believe them inwardly, and our faith is attached to you. Because you love us, you care about us, and you know everything about us. So, Lord, today, in your still small way, your still small voice, speak to the hearts that are here today. May we either thank you, or may we confess and pray and say, Lord, I know I'm not right with you today. But I believe you're calling me today to place my faith and trust in you. But I've wiggled out of that situation before in my life. And I think I can hold out and wiggle out of it here this morning as well. As a pastor, just can't keep preaching. Can't keep praying either very long. And I just say, Lord, if you were speaking to hearts here today, may we receive you with open arms and with our whole hearts of just saying, Lord, I'm a sinner. I failed you. I depend on my own strength rather than relying on you. But today, Lord, I want to surrender all that has been going on. All that's taken place in my life in the past and what's been going on recently, I want you to come and make a difference in my heart, in my life, because only you can. So here I am. Please forgive me as I give you the faith that you have first given to me and give it back to you. You first loved me, therefore I love you. In your name I pray. Amen. Let's pray the Lord's Prayer together. He taught his disciples. Our Father, who art in heaven,
hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done.
Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as
as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Let us stand as we recite the Apostles' Creed together. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Receive these words as a benediction today. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live, even though he dies. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this? Amen.